You're listening to the Dave Collins Show, 920 AM, 96.5 FM, KVEC News Talk. We've got with us for the next half hour, Melinda Lodge. She is in here because in the past week, I had a couple guests on, and she disagrees with some things, so we're going to let her state her case. Just a reminder, if you wish to kind of catch up on that, you can go to 920kvec.com, scroll back to last week, and the ones we're talking about are the interview I had with Walt Heyer, who was a transgender, was born a man, became a woman, and then switched back to becoming a man. And then we also had a discussion on whether transgender athletes who were born male should be competing against females. So, Melinda, you're here. Talk to me. What's your gripes?
In listening to those two programs, or at least part of one program and all of the other program, there were a couple of things that I think are misrepresented, and I want to discuss those. First of all, I want to say that I am not an expert in sports, so I'm not going to address that.
Okay.
I don't know anything about the sport. I mean, I know a little bit about the sports issue, but not enough to discuss it intelligently. The second part, or the part that I wanted to discuss, had to do with Mr. Heyer and his disinformation and his anti-transgender, I want to say itinerary, but basically...
agenda.
Agenda, thank you.
Okay.
He pushed a very, I think, hostile and hateful agenda on the show, and I think that was totally inappropriate. In listening to his verbiage and in listening to what he said, I actually wrote down quotes from what he said, and some of the things that he said I thought were inappropriate. For example, his goal is to help people who have been given hormone therapy and mutilated and help them find a way to prevent going through this procedure. And that's a direct quote off of what he said. Okay. The context is pretty evident. The thing I think was poor timing was that this was not part of a larger discussion. If this had been part of a larger discussion of transgender, of people that transition, of the universe of transgender, I think it would be more appropriate. But the way it was presented was a one-shot deal. It was almost a sniping, is what I would call it, because it presented some real, what I consider to be hate speech. And let me just give you my definition of hate speech based on Merriam-Webster Dictionary: speech that's intended to insult, offend, or intimidate a person because of some trait as race, religion, sexual orientation, national origin, or disability. And there are other definitions. This came out of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. In his presentation, he stated that he was a psychologist or a psychiatrist, or
I believe he's got a PhD in psychology.
Okay. Nowhere on his website does it say that I could find. I didn't go into it in excruciating detail, but I did look and didn't find that. And one of the reasons that surprised me was because he was using very, very outdated terminology. He was using terminology that has since been deemed as hateful. In other words, the term, for example, transvestite is not used. It's not used in any context, and it's considered to be very derogatory. He used that term a number of times, and he also used a billing code for, I believe they called it...
A billing code?
A billing code.
Okay.
A medical billing code that was inaccurate, and it was actually three iterations back. The code had been changed three times since the last time that was used. So his information is pretty scattered and pretty disrupted. There were things that he said that I thought were really derogatory. For example, we have a population who identifies as transgender who actually refuse to acknowledge that any psychological or emotional or even psychiatric issues exist among them, which is totally false. And that's what he said. And I don't know what his population is. He doesn't state that.
What do you mean his population is?
He's saying that we have a population who identify as transgender.
I just think that's a way of saying a number of people. There are people who.
That's correct. But when you start looking at the universe, there are people who do everything.
Yeah.
But he's specifically pointing this out within the context of detransition and people, or retransition, depending on the term that you like to use. And basically, he is trying, and his website is clearly defined by other websites as being an anti-transgender website. And he is clearly...
Well, I think he'd say he's anti-transgender because, I mean, he's gone through the process.
Actually, there's a dispute there. And now first of all, I want to say I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for any other people.
Okay.
I'm speaking as one individual. I am not representing a community or a group of people. I'm just representing
Or an organization.
Myself.
Okay.
Correct. He said that he was forced to cross-dress when he was younger. Is that correct?
He said his grandmother dressed him up as a girl.
Right. So at that point in time, he had no desire to transition or to transfer over, or that he was a different gender. He was being forced.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said later on, as he grew up, he decided at some point to transition.
Mm-hmm. I believe he was 40 years old.
40 years old.
40, 42, somewhere around there.
Okay. In talking to one health professional yesterday and some other people, this is a psychiatric disorder. This is not a transgender disorder. Transgender is not a psychiatric disorder. Transgender is a disorder, not a disorder. Transgender is an issue that people experience because there is not enough data, empirical data, to say exactly why. And people who deny it, for example, that was a little confusing.
Yeah, I'm confused. So let's take another shot at it.
Okay, there are 48 different genetic disorders. Transgender is an issue that people face. For example, I'm going to launch into something a little bit off center, but how many people have a choice as to whether their hair is red or brown or blonde? Nobody. It's the way they turn out. They found genes that prove that. How many people are left-handed and chose to be left-handed? Nobody. That's the way they turned out. In terms of transgender, they don't have that empirical data yet. There is a document that's out. Excuse me. There is a document that's out that discusses... I'm trying to find that document right now because it was one of
we'll trust you that it exists. So what you're saying is that there's no marker in our DNA which identifies someone as transgender. Is that what I get you? Is that what I understand? Do I understand that
correctly?
That's correct. Okay.
But then there's no marker in our DNA for a lot of things. There are a lot of things that we have that there is no marker for. Basically... Oh, here it is. This is the document I was looking for. It's APA PsychNet, the American Psychological Association PsychNet. It's a selected document from the American Psychological Association. It was five studies. The review describes five sets of empirical findings spanning multiple disciplines that fundamentally undermine the genetic binary. Unfortunately, the transgender population is only about 0.6% of the U.S. population, and that equates to approximately 1.5 million people. It's too small a demographic for serious study in most cases, and that's one of the problems we run into. A transgender individual, a transgender man or a transgender woman, is that way not by choice, but because... that's what they begin with, and that's how they feel. For example, a person I know was born, they were assigned a sex, and that sex was incongruent with what they felt like. And so over a period of decades, half a century, depending on the person, they decided that it was safe for them to come out. One of the issues that we face is that one of the issues that we face is that media tends to portray the transgender individual as basically a dead hooker. 60% of media portrays transgender in a very negative light. And as part of that, they also display or portray the transgender person as deserving because of their lifestyle. And this is totally inappropriate. This is absolutely wrong.
You won't get any disagreement from me on that.
So most people think, for example, let me ask you a trick question, if I may. What's the difference between a transgender person and a crossdresser? I'm sorry, and a drag queen?
I have no idea.
And I think that's probably a common response from most of the people I've talked to. And it's also one of the issues that Mr. Hare brought up. He's saying that transgender and cross-dressing and drag queens are the same. But a drag queen, first of all, drag is entertainment. It's not lifestyle. It's an entertainment, form of entertainment that some people find entertaining. Second, 90, probably 95% of the entertainers in drag are gay men who have absolutely no desire to become women. They just like dressing up. They like putting on the makeup. They have no interest in being women. A transgender individual is a person who was born and designated with one gender, but believes and feels that they are of a different gender. And from that standpoint, they get the rest of their life to figure out how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much a sex issue as it is a gender issue. And if you think of it sort of in these terms, and everybody that knows me, that's heard me, says, we'll understand what I'm saying. Sex is who you wake up with in the morning. That's sex, sexuality. Gender is who you wake up as in the morning. So if you wake up as a woman, your gender is going to be a woman. One of the comments I heard on the show the other day was, Caitlyn Jenner. I don't know if he's a girl or he's a boy or what we should call him. That was very clearly stated that Caitlyn is female, that Caitlyn is she.
Was Caitlyn always she? If I refer to his time in 1976 when he was Bruce and he was competing in the decathlon in the Olympics as a man, am I right to refer to him when I'm referring back then? Or
I think that's a good question. And I think it's a question that has two answers. And the first answer is, if you know the person, you ask them how they want to be referred to.
He's not accepting, or Caitlin is not accepting my calls.
That's fine. Okay. Then I would feel comfortable saying that when you are discussing Bruce Jenner and Bruce Jenner's
accomplishments,
it's Bruce. If you're discussing Caitlyn Jenner and Caitlyn Jenner's accomplishments, it's her, she, female pronouns. A safe way to do this is maybe saying they, because they have become a.
See, I've seen that I don't like, because I've seen a situation where in newspaper reporting where they're reporting on a crime that had been committed. Somebody had been assaulted. Mm-hmm. And they used the name, and then, you know, the person's name, the so-and-so was assaulted, and then later in the story, they were walking down the 300 block of whatever. I'm like, oh, someone else was there.
I understand that. I understand.
Just real quick, I want to jump in, and we want to give Melinda all the time we can, so I took the break out.
Okay.
Because I'm the program director.
You can do that. I can't do that.
And you guys have about 7 or 8 more minutes before the bottom of the hour, so we're not going to take a break. We'll make up the commercials later.
Then I'll stop looking at you and making the hand signal, wondering if I should take a break.
Exactly. I want to maximize her time, so please go ahead.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. It's an issue, and I can honestly say that not all these issues have been resolved yet. We don't have answers to everything yet.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, when I was younger, and I was in my teens back in the 50s and 60s, if a person came out as transgender, they basically came to the surface, they did their transition, they went back down underground, and nobody ever heard from them again because they changed their name, and very often they changed their physical location. They, mm-hmm. they moved someplace else, they transitioned, that was the end of it.
Start over, yeah.
Start over. When I came out, it was about the same time Caitlyn Jenner came out. And what really pissed me off was because she made all this noise, and now everybody's going to look at me and say, ah, that person's doing what Caitlyn Jenner's doing. And that was what I was afraid of. And to be transgender is extremely, there is an extreme fear that people are going to hate you because of your gender. Not even, don't even know what your sex is. Don't even know what your background is. They just hate you because they've been trained to do that. They've learned that transgender is somebody they can pick on and there's no repercussions. If you look at the plight of Jewish populations, black populations, Hispanic populations, and so forth, where transgender is in that position at the at this point where people are visibly seeing them and recognizing them and thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
And all these biases and hatreds are coming up. But you start looking into the background of a transgender person, pardon me, you start looking in the background of a transgender person, you're going to find that that person is pretty much a normal person. They just feel different than other people in one particular area.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that this is a time when there is a lot of division sort of in the population.
In the transgender population?
Yes.
Okay.
Because kids are coming out earlier. And with the kids coming out earlier, there is a question as to whether this is something that they actually feel and something that they will spend their whole life comfortable with, or is this something that they feel as a kid? I mean, you put a kid in a decision-making complex, and they're going to be all over the map.
So, I agree with that, yeah.
So
that's why we don't let them vote. We discussed that yesterday. We were talking about letting a 16-year-old vote. No, yeah. Go ahead.
So, yeah, people are going to change their minds as people are going through, as youngsters are going through college and learning about life. There's got to be this area for flexibility for them, so they can move in whatever direction they feel appropriate until they find something they settle on.
Well, let me ask you this: you told me you transitioned later in life.
I did.
How do you think, or what's your opinion? And again, I understand you're only speaking for yourself. What is your opinion on giving things like puberty blockers or testosterone or estrogen, you know, treatments to preteens?
Puberty blockers have been proven to be brilliant, absolutely brilliant, because what they do is they buy time. They give the person 5 years to make up their mind. So basically, if you put somebody on puberty blockers, and I'm not a doctor and I'm not an expert on this, but I've talked to several people, several doctors about it. If you put somebody on puberty blockers at the right time, it stalls puberty. It doesn't stop it. It just stalls it. Because once they come off the blockers, they catch up. So from that standpoint, there is no physical damage that occurs to the person. There's no psychological damage, but it gives them the opportunity to determine if this is what they want to do and this is where they want to go with it. The incidence of, I guess, detransition or retransition is so low that there are no stats on it. I spent most of this morning, a lot of yesterday, and a bunch of the weekend trying to find stats on it. There aren't any. A lot of the stats that Dr. Heyer talked about were from Great Britain. The Guardian is a Great Britain newspaper, and it puts out information from Great Britain.
Right. But it's also a very liberal newspaper.
What's interesting is I'm kind of a stickler in accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up the test, looked up the study that they
referenced.
And I also looked up a company that sort of grades media, and they graded The Guardian as being fairly good about fact-checking.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of in the higher end of fact-checking. They are a tabloid. They admit that.
Mm-hmm.
They gear their information to an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they presented was sort of an emotional, I think, one-sided view of what a particular study was in Great Britain, not here.
Mm-hmm.
Because here it's different, a little bit different. The ability to get a job, the ability to survive, the ability to find resources and so forth here is different than it is in Great Britain.
Better or worse?
I can't judge that because I don't know that much about Great Britain. Although a friend of mine is currently in Colorado, and she was going to try to call in to see if she could be of some help, because she actually worked with one of the people from the Olympic organizing committee that are putting together the standards. Mm-hmm. So
just ignore me.
Yeah, ignore
30 seconds.
30 seconds to wrap up. Okay. What would you like people to remember?
First of all, that a transgender man or transgender woman is a man or woman, depending on what their title is. If a person transitions from being assigned male to female, then they're a woman. And just accept them as that. They're not looking for anything special. Not looking for any other kind of treatment than you would give to anybody else.
Melinda Lodge, thanks for coming in. You've been listening to The Dave Conlon Show, KVEC News Talk, 920 AM, 96.5 FM. We'll be back after this. Listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Matt Hoy in for Dave. Dave will be back on Monday, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, not bushy-faced, as I said earlier this week. Although he probably will have facial hair.
I'll bet you dollars to donuts he's bushy-faced.
You think he's? Yeah, I don't think he's going to be clean-shaven.
Yeah, I just had a quadruple bypass. I better shave.
Yeah, no. So, the rest of this half hour, invite your calls. We are going to talk about what happened last night, our time, today, local time in New Zealand, where you had a nut job who I will not name because nut jobs do not deserve to be named, who went and killed 49 people in a couple different mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. Now, Dave usually has me on after these things because I'm a gun guy. And this jerk used guns. And, you know, every time something like this happened, it just breaks my heart. I'm sickened by it. This guy was apparently live streamed it on Facebook and then posted a manifesto. I would encourage listeners to largely ignore both of those, especially the video. There's nothing redeeming about watching a real-life snuff film. So as far as his manifesto goes, I probably wouldn't give him the satisfaction of having his views aired. If you'd like to weigh in on this at all, feel free to give us a call. 805-543-8830. 1-800-549-5832. Like to hear from you. I just want to go over a few facts of this, get your feedback. First off, this happened in New Zealand. New Zealand has far tougher gun laws than the United States as a whole and even California. What you've got to go through to get a firearm in New Zealand legally, and I'm not sure if we're clear yet on whether this guy had this gun legally or illegally, or whether it really was a fully automatic weapon. I don't always, in fact, I never trust for the first day's reporting when it comes to something having to do with firearms, because journalists don't know what the heck they're talking about when it comes to firearms. It looks black and scary, therefore it's an automatic weapon, when it may not be an automatic weapon. I just don't know. So, it's tougher to get a gun in New Zealand. This guy apparently also had a couple of cars or a couple of vehicles or something outside the mosque that were rigged with explosives or something. And, you know, if someone's got it on their mind to do evil, I'm afraid there's not much that we can do to stop them. Having said that, from everything I'm reading, this guy was a racist hater whose politics cannot be easily slotted to, you know, right or left, frankly. White supremacist would be right, but he also describes himself as like an eco-warrior, and that's left. So the guy's all over the place. And again, I guess this guy was an Australian in New Zealand who did this. I'm just not sure what to say. It really is heartbreaking. So in his manifesto, again, I encourage you not to go looking for it. Don't give him the gratification. But he basically says in there, from some of the reporting I've seen, that his goal, that he could have used a truck, he could have used bombs, he could have used knives, he could have used all these things. He wanted to use guns to cause a cause strife here in the U.S., basically. He wanted to use guns to get the Second Amendment supporters and the gun control people at each other's throats yet again, which is what happens after every shooting. I'd like to say don't give him don't give him the satisfaction, but it's too late already. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, not the sharpest tool in the drawer, went on Twitter, and you know, I've said it before, Twitter's good and bad. The place is kind of a sewer, but it also allows you to see some people unfiltered, and like that about, you know, seeing journalists unfiltered, and I kind of like that about seeing your elected officials unfiltered. She went on there and said, basically denigrated everyone who offers thoughts and prayers to those who were attacked and their relatives and people affected by this, and she snarkily says, well, thoughts and prayers, that's an NRA slogan. And at first I wondered what FDR's National Recovery Administration had to do with it. And then I realized she was talking about the National Rifle Association. So confused by that a little bit. Anyways, if you'd like to weigh in, if you think that this is just another case of, you know, the Second Amendment infecting other countries, love to hear from you. If you've got ideas on what we can do to stop this sort of thing, I am open to that. I'm not sure there's anything we can do to stop it.
There's going to be crazies wherever you go.
There are crazies. Here's the other thing that this kind of puts a kibosh on. This only happens in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Never happens anywhere else. Happens in the United States. Well, this happened in New Zealand. If you figure that New Zealand has, I think the number I saw was like 4.4 million people, and 49 are killed in this one incident, well, the per capita rate of attacks in New Zealand just shot up way past what happens in the United States. So we got a caller?
Yeah, but we're going to do two things with this caller. One is, we're experimenting with a phone problem, so if for some reason this doesn't work, call back Sean. Let's see. Are you there, Sean? Nope, it's not working. Hey, Sean, give us a call back. We're having a phone situation on our side. Thanks.
Pepper Daniels was in here, and he probably made all sorts of changes and just...
Yeah.
That guy can't be trusted.
No, button pusher. Now, we had this before where you put something on hold, and then it switches it to permanently on one side, and you can't move anything over. Let's take a break.
Okay, sounds good to me.
And we'll get this worked out.
If you got a question, call in 543-8830, 800-549-5832. You're listening to The Dave Conkleton Show. Weiss sitting in for Dave. Spending the next few minutes talking about the mosque attack down in New Zealand. While I can still focus, I tell you, this whatever bug has been going around, I have caught, and I feel miserable. It's probably the Black Death.
It's just the plague.
Just my luck.
From those unvaxxed kids.
Luckily, I have been vaccinated. So, again, I mentioned that this nut job who killed these people, the mosque down in New Zealand, here's the quote from his manifesto. I'm not looking at the exact one. I'm not looking at what he posted. I'm looking at some of the media reports. And he said, I could have chosen any weapons or means, a TATP-filled rental van, household flour, a method of dispersion, and an ignition source, a ball-peen hammer, and a wooden shield, gas, fire, vehicular attacks, plane attacks. Any means were available. I had the will, and I had the resources. I chose firearms for the effect it would have on social discourse, the extra media coverage they would provide, and the effect it could have on the politics of the United States, and thereby the political situation of the world. The U.S. is torn into many factions by its Second Amendment along state, cultural, and most importantly, racial lines. With enough pressure, the left wing within the United States will seek to abolish the Second Amendment, and the right wing within the U.S. will see this as an attack on their very freedom and liberty. This attempted abolishment of rights by the left will result in a dramatic polarization of the people in the United States and eventually a fracturing the U.S. along cultural and racial lines. That's what this guy wanted. He wants a race war. Don't give it to him. Okay? I've always said a good guy with a gun is the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun. It looks like in this case, again, it's not clear if his gun jammed or he ran out of bullets or the guy snuck up on him, but it looks like this time he was stopped by a guy who just rushed him unarmed, who took the gun away from him. Guy's a hero. The guy is, whoever did that, I don't know who his name is, what his name is, hasn't been reported yet.
I'm going to admit I'm not very familiar with this. I've been very busy. And I just heard about it today.
Uh-huh.
And I had heard reports about one of the other Muslim parishioners had a gun and chased him out.
Well, there's a couple things. So from the reporting I've seen, again, you know, we're less than 24 hours into this, so some of this is going to prove to be inaccurate, I guarantee you. And there's stuff that we're not going to know for several days, weeks, or even longer. I have seen that he was eventually stopped at the second mosque by somebody who jumped him and got the gun away from him. But then that guy couldn't use, for whatever reason, the trigger wouldn't work, which makes me think the gun jammed. Because I think most people know how to work a trigger on a gun.
Point and click.
Yeah, point and click. You know, you've seen it on TV a million times, right? So that makes me think the gun jammed and this guy got lucky and charged, or it was out of ammunition or something. I've also seen that somebody charged him when he was at the first mosque to try and stop him, unarmed, and he shot him and put him down. And then I saw this other report where someone at the second mosque had, when it started shooting, had managed to slip out, run home, grab a handgun, and by the time he came back, this guy was fleeing, and he shot a couple bullets ineffectual at the car he was fleeing in. So I've seen all that. Again, who knows how much of it's true?
That's why I'm always hesitant to kind of report, or not report, but talk about these things, because we don't know that necessarily the truth yet. You get into a gray area of you don't want to make decisions like,
you don't want to make policy decisions on this. You know, I hate to say, well, you know, this problem would be solved if we just did A or if we just did B, because we don't know how he got the gun. We don't know how long he was planning this. We don't know if there were, if he had run-ins with authorities while he was planning this where he should have gotten caught. We just don't know. And we won't know for weeks or months, possibly, on some of that stuff. So trying to, you know, the only the only gun policy I think that, that would work, that, that you could say with certainty would work right now, would be to confiscate all the guns. And that's frankly not realistic that it's ever going to happen. And you would cause what this guy wanted to cause. You would cause I don't think it would necessarily be a race war, because I think there are plenty of, you know, African Americans, Hispanics, whatnot, who own guns. I know plenty of them do.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'd be fine with their guns being taken away any more than, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants would necessarily.
So could we parse out that we've learned that everyone should have a gun? Mandatory carry?
No, I don't want to do that.
Would you see this guy going into a place where he thought they were heavily armed?
I don't think he would have, but I don't want to force guns on people. If you are not comfortable with a gun, I don't want you to have one. If you have, maybe you don't have, you know, diagnosed mental health problems, but if you, you know, feel like, well, I get depressed sometimes, and if I had a gun and I was feeling down, I'm worried that I might use it on myself, I don't want you having a gun.
Yeah, but I'm noticing
you've made a good decision.
People in these cases, and I will say that they're crazy, mm-hmm. They hit soft targets.
Yes,
I've never heard of them going after a police station or an army barracks, you know,
if
except
they
for
do,
the one who's in there.
But. Right. If they do, they don't kill a whole lot. Well, an army barracks is different because, contrary to what a lot of people believe, people on army bases, if they are not military police, they are
they
not carrying firearms.
But they just seem to hit soft targets like churches, but
right.
also places that have specific ideologies, like churches.
Yeah.
You know, places that kind of exemplify something that may be contrary to what the shooter believes.
Right.
You know, and usually when it's a school, it's a student. When mm-hmm. it's a church, it's somebody who's against that specific
religion. Yeah.
You know, and so there's a method to the madness. And I don't think this guy, this my biggest fear is press and I wouldn't say people so much. I have faith in people. I don't have faith in press that they're going to hold this guy up as an example of Trumpism. You know, an example of
that,
something like that. But then you look at the James Hodgkins, the guy that shot Scalise.
Right.
You know, I don't look at him as somebody who represents the Bernie side, even though he had all this Bernie.
He was a volunteer for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. So I don't look at him as representative of Bernie supporters. And I would hope that the other side would look at this guy.
That would be nice.
And see, he does not represent
Trump supporters.
Even
he's an
Zealand.
Australian in New Zealand.
Yeah. And then, but they're going to try to make the connection. And he even tried to make the connection because America, he's obviously.
He wants discourse in America. He wants to start a race war wherever he can.
But he does not represent normal Trump supporters. You can even see the redneckest of redneckiest Trump supporters wherever you want to see him. And they would look at this guy and say, you know, we don't support. We're not shooting up mosques. I mean,
one taco short of a combination plate.
You know, it's just that guy is crazy. Hodgkins, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The guy in Vegas, crazy. These are people who are crazy that don't represent anything. Now, they have a specific ideology that makes sense in their crazy head, but it has nothing to do with.
I'm still disappointed and concerned and befuddled that. With the Las Vegas shooter, they weren't able to find any reason why the guy did it. I mean, they had all this searching and whatnot for, and they got. We still have no idea why he did that.
And that could just that's part
Other
of his
than
thing
just
is
garden variety,
just creating
nut job.
Yeah, chaos, and you know, and I could say, oh well, he shot up a country show. Well, he had been scouting before that. Like there was a hip hop youth fest, like
right.
he was just trying to find an opportunity,
right,
not a reason
to make a name for himself.
Yeah, so
and you make a name for yourself by large kill counts,
and that's why I don't want this person to represent, just like Hodgkins, just like the Vegas,
right.
just like the school shootings, they do not represent the left or the right in any way, right. And that's what I want to say.
Couple of facts that I'm going to toss out here for vis-a-vis gun control in New Zealand. If you want to purchase a gun in New Zealand, the New Zealand police conduct a background check on you, okay? And you have to give a reason. Self-defense is not a good reason in New Zealand to be able to purchase a gun. You also have to have two individuals, one of whom must be a spouse or a parent. They might take a sibling, must vouch for you, and you have to have an interview with police before you can purchase a gun. That doesn't allow you to carry it around. It allows you to take it home. So just kind of keep that in mind. Also, they're guessing that they estimate that New Zealanders possess about 1.2 million firearms. There's 4 point something million people in New Zealand, so one firearm per every three some people. In the United States, for the record, it's several. There are more firearms than there are people. So, still a tough thing to do. You're listening to Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. Dave will be back on Monday. Another guest at the top of the hour. Stay tuned. We look forward to hearing from you.